Welcome back to the Community Christian Church Plainfield Podcast. The following message was recorded live on Sunday, October 20th at Community's Plainfield location. This week, we hear from Associate Pastor Jason Ishmael as we begin our brand new series called Breakthrough. Community in Plainfield meets on Sunday mornings at 8:30, 10, and 11:30 at 24035 Riverwalk Court in Plainfield, Illinois. For more information about Community, visit us online at communitychristian.org. Thank you for listening, and we hope to see you on a Sunday soon.
So here's the thing. We're talking breakthrough this morning. There's some big-time Chicago breakthroughs throughout history. I'm going to show you a few of them. If you didn't know this, the Ferris wheel is a Chicago thing. That's pretty cool. The first skyscraper in America, 10 stories tall. I know that doesn't seem like that much, but like back then, this was like towering over the landscape, Chicago, Illinois. And though we didn't invent it, I would certainly say that we perfected it, the hot dog. No question about it. Who wants some ketchup? Oh, whoa. That's fighting words, right? To be honest, actually, we chose our house based upon its proximity to a Portillo's. It's 2 minutes. 2 minutes to Portillo's. And I'm told that when the Portillo's went in, the property values of the homes in the surrounding area actually went up 25%. Overnight, Portillo's opens up. I love Portillo's hot dogs. Breakthrough. Now, brand new series. I just want to get the feeling of breakthrough in your mind. So, in my life, I want to talk about like the feeling, like the touchdown dance feeling of breakthrough. And I've got four kids. You know, I talk about them all the time. But if you haven't noticed, I have a 1.5-year-old who, from what I can tell, I think he's the cutest kid at church. From what I've been seeing every single Sunday, cutest kid by far. Just kidding, but I'm not really kidding. the thing is, now he's yet to come. Of my four kids, I've been through this 3 times. I've had some little human being on a potty, and for them to actually go through with urinating into something other than their pants, it's incredible breakthrough. Am I right? I mean, you probably weren't expecting to hear about urinating at church this morning, but like here we are, we're breaking through. So, it's like, have you ever the feeling when like the first time it happened, you've been standing there for like 30 minutes just begging them, like you've got all the rewards set up, like here's a pound of marshmallows for going to the bathroom one time. I'll give you anything, just go to the bathroom, and then they do it, breakthrough, total breakthrough. I got one more to go. And I'll celebrate in some special way, but that's the feeling I'm hoping like maybe get you thinking about, because as we talk about breakthrough, brand new series this morning, 6 weeks long, but I think about it in this way. This is actually a series in a longer season of breakthrough. We're not talking about just breakthrough for 6 weeks. This is actually kicking off a 3-year initiative here at Community where I think we're going to see God move in some really, really powerful ways. And this all begins with us talking about breakthrough in prayer. That's what we're going to be talking about today, but I don't think this is just something that is for today. I think throughout this entire season of breakthrough, for all 3 years, if we are not a praying church through the entire thing, I think we're missing everything. This is about us seeking God, who is the one who brings breakthrough every time. So as a model for this, we're actually going to go through the book of Acts. We'll talk a little bit more about this later, but we're going to do another one of those turn the page things where you actually get to, as a church, we'll get to read the book of Acts together. We'll get to engage some podcasts and some things like that, and even a Facebook group with this. So what I love, though, is when we look at the book of Acts, I think it's really easy sometimes to look at old Bible stories, and they sort of feel that way. You know, like they're really cool, they're really impressive, but they are. They're just old Bible stories that happen to someone else, somewhere else, and it's not here. Can I tell you, when we open the book of Acts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts is like the sequel to the Gospel of Luke. Acts is the story of the beginning of the church. And when I say the beginning of the church, I'm not talking about someone else's church. You realize this. The book of Acts is our church. It is our roots. It's where we come from. And so as we go through this story, as we go through this entire series, I pray that it resonates with you, that you see human beings that went before you and I and did extraordinary things, experienced extraordinary breakthrough through the God, and that you and I come from that heritage. I mean, you can almost say that Community is a 30-year church with a 2,000-year heritage. Those are deep roots. And you can't fake that, you can't buy that, and that's who we are. So as we get into this, I think we're going to see a model. We're going to see it over and over again where the church, that God's people, they pray, and we're going to see God break through in these things. So we'll pick it up in Acts chapter 1. Jesus has died. He's risen from the dead, and then for the next 40 days, he's appearing to people. He's teaching them. He's even doing stuff like eat and demonstrating that he's fully and completely alive. And on one of those days, he says this to his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus says this to his disciples, and immediately, as soon as he says this, in verse 9 it says he begins to ascend into heaven. His body, like his physical body, floats up into heaven. And he goes into the clouds, and immediately after this, in verse 11, like if you were doing this, like if you saw the body of Jesus, like anybody, like if you saw Evel Knievel, I don't care who it is, like if you witnessed a human being's body float up into heaven and you lose sight of into the clouds, where are you going to be looking? Up? Right? Like, duh. Like, an angel appears to these guys and says, hey, why are you looking into the sky? Like, hello? Did you not see Jesus go by on his way up? We just saw Jesus, like, float into heaven. Like, they're just gazing up toward the sky. And the angel essentially tells them, hey, stop looking up here because your job's down there. Your job's down there. He says these things to the disciples in Acts chapter 12, or Acts chapter 1, 12 through 14. It goes like this. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying, and they all joined together constantly in prayer. I mean, just imagine what's happened. They've witnessed Jesus die, rise from the dead, appear to them over the course of 40 days. And I think in their minds, they're like, okay, great, Jesus is back. He's back. We're getting the band back together. This is going to be amazing. We're on a mission from God. Like, everything's going to go so well. It's going to be really, really powerful. And then he leaps. He floats up to heaven, and he essentially tells them, I want you to wait for me. Now, here's the thing, guys. When we're talking about breakthrough, I think a question that might be appropriate to us this morning is, like, are we willing to wait on that sometimes? Are we willing to be a people that wait on God and pray to God, seeking him for breakthrough? Because I'll be honest, sometimes I'm not willing to wait, and even more so, I'm probably a person who wants to dictate the terms to God. Hey, God, I'm going to tell you what to do. I'll tell you when to do it. How about that? I believe him so much in his goodness that I think that if he's shown his faithfulness before, he's going to show his faithfulness again. Didn't we just sing a song about that? And so I pray, say, okay, God, I'm not even going to dictate the terms to you. Now, here's what happens. They go to this place where Jesus has told them to wait and where they've been in constant prayer together. And this happens in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues and other languages as the Spirit enabled them. Now you realize, like, there's this commotion in this room, in this upper room that Jesus has told them to wait in. He sends his Spirit. I mean, it was like crazy breakthrough. Tongues of fire, a mighty rushing wind comes through, and now these men that this happened to are able to speak languages they never learned before. They go out into the temple area that they're in, and there's people gathered from all over the place because it's a Jewish feast. And they begin to speak in languages, and all these different people are hearing them in their own language at the same time. It's this incredible miracle. But what I love about Peter is Peter begins to proclaim the gospel in this, the good news of Jesus in all of this. And you know what he does to do it? As an Israelite, he looks back on the history of their country and he says, hey, God, guys, look and see how God has been faithful again and again and again. He's done all of these things. Jesus came here. And in verse 36, he says, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. The next verse says that they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? It didn't say, what should we think? What should we consider? What should we wonder about? He says, no, what should we do? And Peter responds, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He says, this is a promise. It's a promise for you and for your children and for everybody far off that God's going to call. You realize he's even talking about us, that we get to benefit from this promise. You know what happened that day? In verse 41, it says that 3,000 people were baptized on that day. That's breakthrough. I mean, see, when people pray, God breaks through. And I think about this, like, and I know it sounds like it happened somewhere else, and it's hard to get excited about 3,000 people getting baptized that you never met before. I mean, you realize that's the roots. This is where our church began. This is when the movement of Jesus begins to do something so powerful that it spreads like wildfire. Here's the thing. I was a pastor for 10 years before I moved to community, and I remember languishing on some days, thinking like, "Man, I want more to happen. I want to see more happen." I remember reading this verse that's talking about this church in Acts chapter 2 that said that the Lord added daily to their number those who were being saved. And I hear like, "Oh Lord, how cool would that be?" And I remember one time a couple years ago, Dave Ferguson, our founding pastor, lead pastor here at Community, he was talking about a year's review. And that year, I think we'd seen like something like 370 or 380 people baptized. Anybody realize how many days there are in a year? 365 days. And it hits me. He's telling us like, "Guys, do you realize that we are actually a part of a church? You and I are a part of a church that is actually seeing God add daily to those are the number that are being saved." You remember just a month ago when we had that baptism Sunday? It's so easy. We'd have a Sunday and then we just move on like nothing happened. Do you realize what happened that month in baptism Sunday for all the locations and community combined? Over 100 people were baptized that day. I mean, do you realize you and I are a part of a movement that is seeing God break through again and again and again and again? Yeah, am I going to pray like it, though? Here's what I love. You see, as the people pray, God breaks through. But Peter and John, in Acts chapter 3, as they've all been devoting themselves to daily prayer, to constant prayer, they're on their way one day to pray. And on their way, they get stopped by a man who's at the temple gate. He's crippled. He's begging for money. And Peter, as he walks past him, the man gets his attention. And Peter stops and he looks him in the eyes. And he says, "Hey, we don't have any money for you, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I say, get up and walk." Now, here's what I love about this story, because this man stands up and walks. You ever seen Willy Wonka in a Chocolate Factory when a grandpa like gets out of bed and starts walking for the first time? You know how he's got all those wobbly legs and he's just like kind of tilting it around the whole time? The word says that this man jumped up to his feet. Jumped up to his feet. I mean, you sense the vitality and the strength that all he had to do was say, "In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk," and strength comes into that man's legs that had never worked. That's breakthrough. Now, here's what I love about the story, though. As this happens, there's a big commotion. A lot of people notice it, but there's the Jewish ruling council at the time are doing everything they can to stop this movement from spreading. I mean, you realize they already had Jesus executed. They've killed Jesus, and now they're trying to stop his followers from advancing this movement any farther. They seize Peter and John. They throw them in jail, and they begin to threaten them. "Do not speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus, or else." What do you think the "or else" was? Like, "We're going to give you a ticket? We're going to take away your pension? We're gonna egg your car?" Like, you think they're going to kill him? Is if you keep talking, we're going to kill you. Now, here's the thing. At this point, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised that Peter shows up and does a miracle. I got this picture of Peter. He's the guy holding the keys on the right-hand side with the white beard. I guess that's how he looked. It was the most artistic photo that I could find on Google. I didn't realize there was a naked angel in the back until just now. So now that I've pointed that out to you, I never see Peter like this, though. I actually see Peter more like this. Yeah, that seems more appropriate to me. I actually made that on my phone last night with my index finger. That's the artistic talent is there. You guys know it. the image I have of Peter is like wears his underwear on the outside of his pants and he has a cape. Like, I'm totally fully expectant of Peter to come in and flex and shoot laser beams out of his eye because that's what he does. That's what he's supposed to do. But you realize that Peter and John, they go back to the church. To us, to the regular people, and they tell them what's happened. Man, you can imagine that conversation, can't you? Peter comes in, he says, "Hey, we just did this miracle over at the temple gate, and it was a big commotion." They're like, "Yeah, Peter, where you been? Man, where you been? Well, I got thrown in jail last night." And they threatened me. They said, if I talk about Jesus anymore, if I do any more miracles, they said they're gonna kill me. I mean, now imagine if you were a part of that church. Oh, imagine if Dave Ferguson or John Sosnowski walked into this room right now and he's like, "Hey, guys, I got some really bad news. I got some really bad news. I just got threatened that if we keep talking about Jesus, they're going to kill me. They know where I live. They know where I work. They're going to kill me if we keep talking about Jesus." It would be really easy to say, "Okay, John, you can risk the Sosnowskis, but I'm going to tell you right now, the Ishmaels aren't sticking their necks out for this. We're going to keep it quiet. If you don't see me for a couple of months, don't worry. I'm just trying to keep my baby safe. Reasonable, right? This is what I love, though. This is the people who don't have their underwear on the outside of their pants and their capes on. The regular people begin to pray to God in one voice. They look up at God and they said, Lord, consider their threats. Consider their threats. And they didn't say, Lord, consider their threats. And God, could you turn down the heat a little bit? Could you make it a little easier for us? Because we're really scared. Lord, would you take away all the pain, all the challenges, all the difficulties? Would you just make it easier? No. In one voice, and I think it's the best miracle in the text. This is the breakthrough in the text. God's people look up to him and they say, hey, Lord, consider their threats and grant your service more boldness. Give us more boldness. And by the way, God, it was miracles that got us in this trouble in the first place. Would you give us some more miracles? That's our church. That's where you and I come from. That's our roots and our foundation of people that look up to God and say, hey, whatever it takes, you're going to get us through. No matter the cost, nobody's going to put up or shut up or stop because you are the God of breakthrough. Now, I wonder if 2,000 years later, his church still has that kind of moxie. Yeah, because I'm going to tell you what, I quiet down a lot easier than that. All you got to do is give me a comfy chair. And all of a sudden, man, I could be so quiet. You see, when God's people pray, he breaks through. God responded to that room by shaking the whole place. It says the place they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and everybody in that room begins to speak with boldness, just like they had asked God for. And would you say it with me? When people pray, God breaks through. Don't say it like it's a funeral either. Would you say it? When people pray, God breaks through. Let's try it. When people pray, God breaks through. Would you say it like you mean it? When people pray, God breaks through. We sing about it. We talk about it. We see it over and over again. And I'm going to tell you, I see God breaking through even in unexpected ways. Even ways when I was like, hey, I had all planned out. I had it all worked out for how God was going to move in a situation. I tell you, there's so many times where I would have never seen it coming. And God breaks through in these situations. I remember before I met Brittany, I was like, in case you guys didn't know it, shocking as it may be, I was kind of nerdy in school. And I hardly ever had a girlfriend. Like, I really, really, really wanted a girlfriend. But like, I remember I always got my heart broken. I've never dumped anybody. I've always been the one to get dumped. Every single time they broke little Jason's heart. Every time. I know, right? Cute, skinny little kid. He's got curly hair. Like, how could you break that kid's heart? Looking into his green eyes. Like, every time, most of the time, they just call me. Hey, Jace, it's over. And I'd be like, but. I remember this one time. I was so upset about it. You know, I was in college, and I went to Bible college, so there's a little motto, ring by spring or your money back. Everybody was getting married, like everybody. And it was all the dudes that still had all their hair and were lifting weights and stuff. And I was just afraid I was gonna lose my hair and I wasn't interested in lifting weights. I was in deep trouble. And I remember like I got to this point where I was done. I was completely done with it. And I said, okay, God, I'm tired of trying to make this happen. Lord, you just have your way. Just have your way, not mine, your way. 2 weeks later, like a fresh breeze in my life, Brittany showed up. She showed up out of nowhere. And she showed up only because I was at a social event with a friend of mine who had cancer. And the only reason I was there was to be with my friend who was starting chemo that Monday. And I happened to sit across from this beautiful woman who had just hit me like a ton of bricks. How crazy is that? I'd just given up finally, say, okay, God, it's yours. And God's like, finally, why didn't you ask me earlier, for crying out loud, right? And God breaks through. You know, sometimes you got to wait a lot longer for that breakthrough, though. Sometimes it's a fight. Sometimes you never know if it's going to come. See, the question I've been asking myself, even as I've been preparing for this message, this whole idea when people pray, God breaks through. I'm asking myself, do I believe that? Am I willing to bet on that? See, what if this church actually prayed like it was up to us, you know? Because I think sometimes it's up to somebody else's prayers, right? I know somebody's praying about it. My grandma's praying about it. There's an old saying, you can't keep living on granny's angels. It's time for you to step up and get one of your own, all right? See, what would happen if this church sought God for breakthrough? You see, this week in our small groups, that's what we're doing. Every single small group is a prayer meeting this week. And if there's any week where you're gonna say, hey, I am not gonna miss small group, this is the week to do it. Make sure you get there, because I really believe that this week is the spark that starts a fire. A fire that we're not just gonna be talking about for 6 months or three, or for 6 weeks or 3 months or 3 years. We're gonna see God do something forever in and through us. Now, if you're not in a small group, that's okay. We got a prayer meeting here on Tuesday night. Come here to the building Tuesday night at 7 o'clock to pray for breakthrough. And you're gonna see it. When people pray, God breaks through. Now, I'm gonna engage this too. I think if we're gonna talk about this and go through the book of Acts together, I encourage you, grab onto this. Remember when we did that turn the page thing, went through the whole Bible with this. As a church, we're going to go through the entire book of Acts. Our church, our beginnings, our foundation. We're gonna go through our heritage. And with this, we got like these daily reading things. We got podcasts happening throughout the week. We've even got a Facebook page that you can go. Now, I'm gonna tell you, you know it's serious. You know it's serious when we're talking about breakthrough, when you get a like breakthrough swag. You got wristbands on the way in. I was getting ready this morning. John came up to me and said, hey, you got your wristband? And I thought he was going to compliment my watch. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I gave it to Sophie. And I'm going to tell you, John's watching. Make sure you get your wristband on. Put that bad boy on. Here's the thing. This thing's going to be on my wrist, I guess, until I break it or I have to get a new one or I get sick of it. It says pray through it. Pray for a breakthrough. And to me, this isn't just about getting the gear that makes you look like you're up to speed. I want to put this on my wrist every day as a reminder to me that every single time I look down at my wrist, I might just be checking the time. And in my head, I'm postured to say, God, would you break through? God, would you move? You see, this morning, I bet there's a bunch of us here that could say there's some things that we're looking for in our very own lives, some places and some things in us that we are asking God to break through. I mean, you might be in a season of a relationship that seems like it is bottoming out right now, and you are saying, yes, yes, I need a breakthrough. I need a breakthrough. This morning, maybe you are in a prison of addiction, and you have thought, you have tried, you have done everything. Would you trust this morning that our God is the God of breakthrough? Would you bring that to him and say, God, would you break through? Would you break through in my addiction? I don't know. Maybe it's in your body. Maybe there's health stuff you're dealing with. I know there is something, though, that every single one of us is carrying this morning, or we need God to break through. So here's the thing. I'm going to literally give you some time to pray about it. Now, I'm going to give you 30 seconds of just still and quiet. Or you might look up to God and say, okay, God, would you give me breakthrough in this area of my life right now? So 30 seconds. Go ahead and pray. Okay, now I'm gonna push you a bit. I'd like you to grab one or two people around you. Pair up, threes, whatever, whatever's close to you. This isn't gonna be difficult, but I think that when we talk about breakthrough, it's not just breakthrough in our own lives, it's a breakthrough in the lives of other people. And I'm gonna challenge you literally to pray this prayer, to ask God, God, would you break through in blank's life? To literally name a person out loud with the people that you're sitting with right now, that we might lift up some prayer to God and just say, God, would you break through in, and I'm thinking about my little sister right now. And it's been hard for her. She's had a tough couple of years, and I'm saying, God, would you break through for Kristen? Father, would you break through for her? So would you say, God, would you break through in blank's life? Out loud right now with your twos or threes. Go ahead and do that. I'll give you 30 seconds. That's hard, isn't it? Don't you find it interesting that it is hard to be heard in a place like this? You realize we're in a room full of people that agree with us. We're in a room full of people that are singing the same songs as us and wearing the same breakthrough swag as us. And yet it's still hard to articulate. I pray that maybe some of you this morning, even just to get something out of your heart and through your mouth, that you would experience a breakthrough in prayer this morning. Say, you know what? I never imagined myself even daring to pray out loud in a church, even one sentence. Maybe that was a breakthrough for you. But guys, this morning I pray that we would be a church that is a praying church. Can you imagine what would happen if our voice goes up to heaven together seeking God for breakthrough? We see what happens in the roots of our church, and God is still the God of breakthrough. And so I'm going to ask him, I literally ask us to pray this together out loud. Now, don't make this sound like a funeral either. It always sounds like a funeral at church when we pray stuff together. So would you say this with me? Father, we want to be a praying people. Please transform us into a praying church. Say that sentence again. Please transform us into a praying church. Draw us closer to you and to each other during the season of breakthrough. Give us an openness to your Holy Spirit. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, we're seeking you. Because you are the maker and the sustainer. You are the one who created us, and that the entire world and the universe is in your hands. It is the work of your fingertips. And Father, we are seeking you this morning for breakthrough in our lives, to do what only you, Father God, can do. And we're seeking you, Lord, to work in the lives of others, that we are still seeking to help to find their way back to you, God. And Lord, we know that you're the only one that can do it. You're the only one that can actually move the heart and do forever kinds of things. And so, Father, in this place, I ask you that we would be a praying people, that we would pray like it actually does depend on us, that it actually does depend on our prayers, Lord, that we would seek you so fervently that we wouldn't stop seeking you, that we wouldn't stop knocking, and we wouldn't stop asking, Father, that we'd see you come through again and again, that you, the God of breakthrough, would break through in this place. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.